Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, man, I'm not used to that new intro. I hit the wrong button there, but that's okay. We're just getting started. Everybody, this is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and I'm taking a break from painting tonight. I've got a fantastic guest on tonight. We've got filmmaker, writer, director, William Liu. William, how are you?
I'm good, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime, man, anytime. William, I know you have an interesting story. I guess that you graduated high school and said, I want to make a movie and then film this movie in a week. I'm kidding, of course. You've worked for some big-time clients. No, are you originally from Los Angeles?
No, I'm originally from Northern California, the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. I did my undergraduate studies at UCLA. Then I thought I needed a break from California and went to Florida State University for film school. But then after graduation,
gotcha,
came back to good old Los Angeles.
Well, that's where the work is. You've got your MFA and whatnot in Florida. That's interesting. I'm actually in Deerfield Beach right now, South Florida, just up from Fort Lauderdale, south of Boca.
Awesome.
Oh, I hear you, man. I hear you. So that's cool. So you now let me ask, when you were a kid, were you always like making movies? Were you the movie guy?
I think it's funny because my parents are scientists. My mom's a chemist and my dad's a physicist, and I inherited none of their science genes. In high school, math and sciences were not my cup of tea. Maybe there was a mix-up at the hospital, but I did like English classes a lot, especially whenever I got the chance to do some creative writing. And also in high school, whenever we had the chance to, you know, make presentations, I'd jump at the chance to make a video presentation. So, had a little VHS camera and would make, you know, stupid movies and present them in class.
That's awesome. You were the cool film guy. Now, let me ask you this. I'm a painter by trade. That's what I do. That's why I went to school for it and everything. My parents, not artistic at all. Well, my mother was, but she passed away when I was very young. But my father, definitely not. You know, he's engineer, jock, sports, that kind of stuff. Now, but he was pretty cool. I mean, he got, you know, that wasn't kind of my path. And he was supportive. I mean, he went to a lot of art openings and galleries and art museums and all that. Bless his heart, you know. Were your parents being in a radically different field than what you were pursuing, were they cool or how did that go?
They were and they still are super supportive. So I'm incredibly grateful and lucky. And I don't know, maybe you're hitting on something. Like, maybe it just skips a generation, you know, it alternates, you know, science one generation and the offspring go into the arts and then, you know, the grandchildren will be back into the sciences.
I remember my father, whenever he'd get annoyed with me, cause I'd do stupid stuff. I was a knucklehead when I was young too. But the thing was, he would always say, you know, boy, you're going to be coaching a lot of little leagues, so you better get ready. You know, that was his prediction. So, we'll see. I have to adapt. You know, well, that's cool. So, well, and you know, and to be honest, getting an MFA, when I got mine in fine arts, we called it something different than a Master's of Fine Art, but which we won't say on the air. But
that's not safe for work.
Right. You know, getting your MFA though isn't just you don't draw a turtle on a matchbook cover to get that and send it in. You got to do some hard work. And with film, I imagine it's the same thing.
Yeah, I at Florida State University, at the time that I attended, I don't know if this is still the case, but they were one of only two universities in the United States that taught film production in a
wow.
conservatory style, and the other one being AFI, American Film Institute. My understanding of mm-hmm. conservatory style filmmaking education was basically like a film boot camp. Like they threw us right in, so we were instantly learning everything from, you know, camera, light, sound, but also like production design. And I had no experience whatsoever in a wood workshop before. And I remember like day one, right. it was like, here's the table saw and, you know, be careful. And we heard all the horror stories about, you know, women or anyone with long hair, not tying it properly and getting caught in
right.
the table, or, you know, having jewelry getting caught in the table saw. So I was pretty intimidated.
Oh man.
But it was a very intense, but rewarding program for 2 years.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So after that, well, you bounced back to California. That's where the work is, you know, LA. That's, I totally get that. Although mm-hmm. technically, I guess you could be pretty much anywhere these days, but it's just a lot easier there in the mecca of filmmaking, you know, Hollywood.
Right.
What did you think about moving
yeah.
back?
It was a nice return back to Los Angeles. I think the humidity in Florida was a bit much for me. But yeah, it was great. And then I realized, oh wait, I forgot all about the traffic in Los Angeles, the lovely 405 and whatnot. I felt it was important to go back to where Hollywood was.
Right, right. Well, it's very cool. And somebody who's not into, or you not, I shouldn't say that. I am a major film nut, man. I go to Disney World. I just want to go to, you know, Hollywood Studios. That's my park. And ride that movie ride over and over again. But no, I really appreciate film, but I'm not skilled in the mechanics of it, the making of film. You know, I'm definitely an audience layman. No, you got back and you started working right away, right? And doing a lot of like web series and whatnot.
Immediately after I graduated, like a lot of people, you know, I started out at the lower level, you know, assistant jobs, you know, where you're mm-hmm. literally making coffee or copies. And then I eventually started
meeting people, you know,
right.
Your foot is in the door.
You know, yes. And it is all about, you know, often it is all about who you know in the industry. But yeah, after I did some assistant, you know, entry level jobs, I got to work at a marketing company that did a lot of extra, you know, the DVD extra features, you know, like the behind the scenes documentaries for movies. And that was fun. And then, you know, the home entertainment market kind of, the DVD entertainment home video market kind of bubble burst. And after
right.
that, I made a transition into, you know, new media, digital media, and worked for places like Machinima and most recently Maker Studios.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, it is. It's a brand new, it's a new world, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it just blows me away. Netflix, Hulu, all these, you know, there is places for independent film or content. You know, these few places are screaming for content, you know.
Yeah,
as opposed to like 10 years ago, you know what I mean?
Right.
Now,
yeah.
When did you have the idea for your feature film? Is this your first feature film, Comfort?
It's my first. And the idea actually, it's almost been 10 years now since I wrote what was a very, very rough first draft of what
mm-hmm.
eventually would become Comfort. So I think that was around 2007 or 2006, so it's been quite a while.
Wow. Wow. And you got it, though, the food trucks and all of that. One of the things, I haven't seen the full film, but I've seen the trailers and whatnot on various things like YouTube and what have you. And I have a general idea of what's going on, the gist of it. It seems very, very cool. Now, out of the gate, William, you didn't make a movie about zombies. What is that about? No, I'm kidding. It just
that was,
seems...
That was, that's
and
the
just
sequel.
Saying, oh, I see. Come back.
It seems like a pretty cool story. Oh, thank you. My first time out, because you know I knew it would be my resources, my budget would be pretty limited. I wanted to keep things relatively simple. As much as I would love to do a zombie apocalypse film, I just thought I won't have that much money, so I decided to do a simple Boy Meets Girl story.
Well, I think it's sometimes simple is oftentimes simple is fantastic because it resonates.
Yeah, and,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was actually one of my biggest takeaways from film school. Our professors always kind of reminded us, like, you know, we were making these short films and like to always be conscious of scope. You know, it's like in film school. Mm-hmm. You know, our resources were limited, so, you know, they would not really, they didn't want us making, like, you know, sci-fi epics. It's like, guys, keep in mind, what you guys have, the scope of your short films, keep things simple. I was always of the mindset, well, you know, let's keep it simple so we can hopefully execute as well as we can on these limited means.
No, I think it's very smart, and it teaches. You know, it reminds me. I remember my first year in art school. The Indians were paying me to go. You know, or paying my way, which I eventually had to pay back. But the thing is, I was on a budget, and I met a lot of rich kids that were coming to this class. And I remember telling my professor, I'm like, you know, these guys can afford all the paint and everything. And he's like, can he give me three primaries? He's like, you can make any color with those. I suggest you do it, you know? And of course I ranted and raved and everything. Next semester, he said, now all you kids with all this paint and stuff, only primaries allowed this semester, you know, but I was ahead of the game because I knew how to do it, you know?
Right.
But it seems your filmmaking, that's kind of the same, a similar thing, you know, you're working.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add that I think often, you know, it's during those times where you may have limited resources, but I feel like that's often the time when you're the most creative because you're forced to kind of make,
absolutely.
You know, improvisations or just, you know, you're forced, I think, to address things in a creative manner, in a more creative manner when, you know, things aren't necessarily handed to you, you know, and when they are, like,
right,
you get spoiled and you don't flex that creative muscle.
Well, and you're absolutely right. I agree 100%. Now, let me ask you, with Comfort, with the Boy Meets Girl scenario and what have you, is this autobiographical in any way? I mean, was there a gal out there, William, that bent your heart a little bit?
There are definitely some elements of, you know, personal experience. but most of it is you know, a pure, you know, imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I did want to make a personal story. So there are snippets here and there of real life experience.
Outstanding. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
You're a business owner.
Check.
You have business owner's insurance.
Check.
And 10 years ago, that went about enough. Today, small businesses are being targeted and taken down by hackers. Medical offices, consultants, CPAs, any business that's built success has everything to lose. You probably have cybersecurity installed on your computer.
Check.
But you probably don't have cyber insurance, coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Cyber Policy covers that gap. Cyberpolicy.com shops the leading cyber insurers to find you the right policy at the right price to avoid a catastrophe. Coverage against loss and damage if your data is compromised. Get a custom quote today in just 4 minutes. And for a limited time, use the promo code BLOGTALK to get Norton's small business protection for up to 5 devices free when you sign up for cyber insurance. Plan, prevent, insure. Visit cyberpolicy.com. That's cyberpolicy.com.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with her rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun. Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS. That's ROXX for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Let me ask you this. I know that food plays a very important part in this movie to convey the story along. And also, if I'm reading it right, It kind of foods and eating and whatnot is very intimate, especially when you're doing it with somebody you kind of dig. You know, that's why people go to restaurants on first dates and stay dinner in a movie. Are you a foodie? Was it important to you to use that as a vehicle to move the story along?
Yeah, I think you know, part of me was a little insecure as a first time filmmaker, and I think you know, as a little insecure filmmaker, I thought, well, at least, you know, if we have some good looking shots of food, you know, that'll get people's attention. Just, you know, just like whenever, you know, they say, it just adds like production design if you have a nice Italian sports car or something, you know, something cool to look at. But no, seriously, I do love good food. I think for me, one of the, and this is kind of what I wanted to convey, with comfort. I love it when you're, you know, meeting someone for the first time and discovering not only your shared interests, but whether you have similar palates. And I think it's exciting when, you know, you find a restaurant that you both like, and, that's something fun and special. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be escargot, you know. I'm
right.
thinking of a couple right now that I know that, man, they started dating and they both just decided they like sitting home watching Netflix and eating Domino's. You know, and they're happy as a clam. But
like
it was
a
the
great
Domino's
idea. Yeah.
that brought them together.
Right.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Well, even the name comfort, you know, you think comfort food and what have you. So it's interesting, though. I do want to watch the film because from what I've seen, I have to know if he gets the girl at the end. And I don't know that. But don't tell me. Let's not give away the ending. But one of the things I like about your trailer. Excellent. Well, one of the things I really dig about your trailer is it makes me want to see the movie. You know, and I think that's cool. I think that's very cool that you captured that in a trailer. Oftentimes, trailers don't. Or just all the good parts are in the trailers. I don't get that with your film.
Oh, thank you. I definitely should give a shout out to Meredith Guerrera, who was our trailer editor, and she did a phenomenal job. That's actually her specialty, and editing trailers. And it really, you know, trailer editors, it's actually a very special skill set. Not everyone can do it. And she did a great job, and I'm so glad our paths crossed, and she was able to edit the trailer for Comfort. She did a great job.
That's awesome. No, that's awesome. Now, making a film, I have a friend of mine, and she's an independent filmmaker in Ohio, and I have visited her several every time. It's funny because every time I visit her, man, they're doing something film. Somebody's getting a demo reel shot, or something's happening. You know, to me, it's very exciting and glamorous because. It's kind of not my world. I'm swimming in a new lake, you know, just to be kind of hanging out. And it's very exciting. But no, I mean, it seems daunting to me at the same time. I mean, to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to make a feature film. First off, did you crowdfund it? I mean, where does the money come from? You know, I mean, how does this happen? How does this get made? You know, how does this magic happen? Or am I asking a magician to tell their tricks? I mean, I don't want to be offensive and do that, but
not at all. Well, initially we did try doing a Kickstarter campaign, and that actually failed miserably.
No?
We asked for like, you know, 50,000, and we only got five. No, but actually it's ironic because,
$5,000's pretty good, man.
Yeah. We asked for 50 and we only were able, I think we got five. Maybe we didn't even get that. I think maybe it was like 4,900 or something. Anyway,
wow.
But yeah. So our Kickstarter failed spectacularly, but it actually was a blessing in disguise, because that actually galvanized me and actually motivated me more to make the film. It was kind of like, well, fine, I'll do it this way then. Fortunately, I was lucky enough to find a very generous benefactor who financed the film.
There you go, man.
It's funny how independent filmmakers work. Often when we hear no's, that doesn't discourage us. It galvanizes us. So, and that was the case.
Well, that's
with Comfort.
You know, William, I've known a lot of successful people over the years, and that seems to be a common trait amongst them, as opposed to I've known a lot of unsuccessful people in whatever field, and the opposite holds true. They say, you know, oh, you can't do that. Okay, well, then that's the end of that. You know what I mean? But it's people like yourself, very inspiring, that say, okay, tell me no. I needed that fuel. Here we go, you know, and it gets done. And things happen. They make things happen. It's very magical. I dig it. That kind of stuff just turns me on, man. It's good stuff. Good stuff. That's cool. Now, how long was the, filming a feature film like this, how long did that take to film?
Sure. Well, you know, and I'll give a shout out to my producer, Mark Heidelberger. And initially I hired Mark to simply take a look at my script and, you know, come up with a schedule and budget. And, you know, I kind of told him, like, can we do it for X amount? Can we try and do it for X amount? And he said, okay, well, on low-budget films, one of the key things, if you want to keep your budget down, the key thing is to keep your shooting days down, right? Because basically every day you're employing about two dozen or so people. So to keep your budget down, you want to, you know, minimize those days of paying people. But there is that dance too, because, you know, you can try and shoot, you know, a 100-page script in one day, but that's not realistic and everyone will hate you. That's rarely not possible unless it's one location and one shot and, you know, you have someone memorizing 100 pages of script. But normally, you know, we try and shoot around 5 pages. With Comfort, we shot around, I think, between 5 to 10 pages on our longest days. But most of our days were between 5 to 10 pages a day. So Comfort, we shot for a total of 16 days. With one day of what are called pickups, and that pickups are basically once you have done a rough first cut of the film and you realize, oh crap, we need to reshoot this, or we should get a quick shot of this, any like, you know, shots to fill in any gaps that might be missing. So, and then we had one extra day of pickups, so total 17 days.
Wow. And then but casting and all that kind of stuff on top of that, right? And then editing and
there were some, you know, pre-production days, casting the supporting actors. And then editorial was relatively quick. I forget if it was like 6 or 8 weeks, but we weren't one of those films with a lot of special effects that, you know, languished in post.
Right.
It was actually a pretty smooth post-production schedule.
Well, that's amazing. Now, when it was completed, and now it is available, and folks, we should say this. I want to give the website. It's very simple to get to. It's comfortmovie.com, www.comfortmovie.com. And when you get to the website, which is a fantastic website, well, first thing you're going to see is all the accolades, you submitted this to all kinds of film festivals and whatnot, right? And look at the result here, you know?
Yeah, we were super honored and lucky to get into a lot of great festivals and last year was basically our kind of festival tour and where we got to go all over the country, and it had phenomenal, fantastic experiences.
Now, something I didn't know, I did some work, it's been about 10 years now, with the San Diego Film Festival back in the day, and nothing to do with film. They hired me to paint some paintings of some people they had at their parties and whatnot. And it was very cool and very exciting, and I loved the work. It was awesome. But what I learned, and I didn't know about film festivals, is people, you don't just send your film to a film festival and say, hey, I made a film, here it is. You also have to send a check along with that, you know what I mean? And so when I see all these festivals and all these things you want, I mean, that's not a cheap thing either. You know, I mean, again, more money, you know what I mean? Just to make it happen. But it's cool because look at the return. And and people can watch this, right? It's video on demand. They can watch it now at Amazon and iTunes, all that kind of stuff.
Via the website, you know, we have a store link, and then on that page links to all the platforms that we're on. Yeah, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, YouTube, even. Festivals are you know, potentially get expensive, so you should do your due diligence and, you know, make sure there are festivals that are just kind of money grabs, you know, that have really high application fees and are just kind of there. They're not a lot, you know, and I think most of them, you know, those that do have bad reviews. But festivals are important to get that exposure. Essentially, you know, our festival run last year was our theatrical release, and, you know, personally for me, it's great to experience the film, you know, in a theater, dark room, appreciative audience.
Oh yeah, about that big screen, man.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. That is awesome. I'm actually right now. I bought me and my girlfriend bought a house here in South Florida last year, and we've pretty much finished the house, and now we're onto the backyard, getting it all. You know, we watch entirely too many of these home improvement shows on cable, but I'm putting in an outdoor theater now.
Oh wow, that's fantastic.
You have to see. Well, there's just certain movies, man, that you got to see on a big screen.
Especially, the epics and the widescreen cinematography. That's awesome. Yeah.
So I get it. Like I said, I'm an audience layman, but I definitely have an appreciation for film. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Record better audio anywhere with Motive Digital Microphones from Shure. Easy-to-use options like the MV88 plug directly into your phone or computer and include a free app. Create studio-quality sound for podcasts, music, and videos. Visit Shure.com to learn more.
I figured out who the neighbor around the corner is.
Oh, yeah?
I like him a lot.
Ooh.
He lets me talk as much as I want, is very simple, and has great plans.
Okay, I have to meet him.
Sure. Say hi. This is Metro PCS.
Metro PCS is in your neighborhood. Come say hi and get unlimited data, talk, and text for only $30, period. All on the fast nationwide 4G LTE T-Mobile network. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. 1 gigabyte of high-speed data included. See store for details, terms, and conditions, and data management info.
Hey, everybody. Pop artist Jamie Rocks here. Hey, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, you know, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger painting. You know, they love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas, perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house. But it's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have 4 or 5 per week up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal. But definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget. And, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now. Well, that's cool. You know, in the art world, they have the same thing as some of those nefarious festivals you were talking about. Here we have, and I get these emails all the time, they have these art books that they're producing, and they're like, you know, we've selected you to be in the art book. Mm-hmm. Send us $300 and your picture of your painting, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's great.
And,
but some
and
people
funny,
do that, you know? And
yeah,
then they never
yeah.
see the book.
And it's funny that I've always made the analogy with film festivals to art galleries, in the sense that as a filmmaker, and hopefully this doesn't sound too pretentious, but as a filmmaker, I do view film festivals as our art galleries, because that's the venue mm-hmm. we intended our work to be displayed and ideally experienced, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
But you know, then again, it is still great that we do have these platforms like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Video, that people can also watch my film on a computer screen. Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, you can't, you know, there is, I'm telling you, yes, seeing comfort on a big screen is ideal. But you're absolutely right, man. There are thousands of college students sitting there with a Mac laying on their bed, watching this thing, you know, on their Mac or their laptop or whatever. And you know what? That's still cool. It's still cool because people are watching it, you know, and they're seeing your story, your art, you know, they're getting it. And that's cool. That is very, very cool. Now, man, I know we're promoting comfort and everything. I have to ask, William,
film number two in the works right now, or any other gears turning ideas wise and whatnot for it?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm in. It's not even a first draft. I did write a detective story that I'm. It's a genre that I always wanted to work in, and I really enjoyed. I don't know if you're familiar with the filmmaker Shane Black. He did The Nice Guys last year, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
With Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. He also did a great film called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. I kind of wanted to do a film along those lines. But very early stages right now. I need to get off my butt and do some revisions.
I hear you. When it comes, it'll come. And you're probably like me in that it's so funny. People, my girlfriend all the time says, well, are you going to paint something? I said, I'm working on the painting in my head right now. Just let me. And then a couple hours later, man, I'm on it. And for, the next two days,
good.
I don't sleep. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
But it's creative types. We just don't work like normal people. William, that's why it's hard for us sometimes with the 9-to-5 world, I mean, if you're good at
right.
that, that's good. But a lot of people aren't,
Right.
I have my way to do it.
Inspiration hits at very odd hours sometimes, So not necessarily between 9 and 5. Yeah.
And then you're calling people at 5 in the morning.
I think the problem with a lot of writers, we don't get to the point, where you are, where you actually put the brush to the canvas. We often just remain, it often just remains in the headspace, and we don't,
right.
put our fingers on the keyboard. There's that weird block that we need to overcome and just have more discipline.
I hear you. Well, this is phenomenal. And again, folks, the film by William Liu here is Comfort. That's what we're talking about. A Late to the Party production. Oh, is this your production company, William?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I like
the
title.
Thank you. I wanted to make a film a lot earlier, but as they say, life got in the way. But luckily, finally took that leap and got to make my first film.
It happens. Now, I'm seeing in my show notes that you say this is a great first date movie. And from what I've seen, I would agree with that. I think that's very cool, it's very cool to have out there. So, listeners, if you're looking for something for that first date, well, here you go, man. And, hey, everybody's got an HDMI cable, hook that laptop up to your TV, watch it. Easy to do. That's cool. That is cool. Now, would you, did you know the actors and everything that was going to be in this? Or were these people you knew, friends?
Yeah.
And stuff, or?
Chris Dinh, the leading actor, I had known for years. I had actually seen a lot of work of his at film festivals. I had done some shorts, and we often had just a lot of near misses in life. We had some mutual friends. Chris also is a producer, and he had produced for some of my fellow filmmaker friends. And I just remember seeing his work and actually always wanting to work with him. But as someone who's very shy and introverted, I never got the guts to speak up and say, hey, can I work with you? But Chris, to his credit, he actually came to one of my rap parties for a short film I did years ago, and I had told him about what would become Comfort, and it was only until several years later he just reached out to me. He had my email, and he just said, hey, this is Chris. Remember me? I'm like, yeah, totally. And he asked me, whatever happened to that story, about a guy meeting a girl, and they go on these foodie adventures. I'm like, nothing. It's on my desk. It has an inch of dust on it. And he said, well, that story always resonated with me, and I'd like to develop that with you. and that got this whole process started. Chris was the one who introduced me to the lead actress, Julie Zahn. And then I had known Kelvin Hanyi, who plays the father. I had worked with him on another project before. And then the other cast members, like Billy Sly Williams, I met through the casting director when we held some open auditions. So it was a mixture of, you know, friends and also new people who I met for the first time. And yeah, it was a great. We had such a great cast. There is an old cliche about directing that, you know, 90% of directing is with casting, and I couldn't agree more.
That's awesome. That's great. That's very, very cool. Well, and the cool thing is making a movie about, you know, like you said, foodie adventures and food trucks and this and that. Well, you know, craft services is always on right there, you know.
Yes.
You got it right there. Everybody's got to pay for it, but that's okay. It's not a big deal. Very, very cool. Now, folks, on the comfortmovie.com website, if you scroll down at the bottom, there's links also to the Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of that. I suggest you follow those, subscribe, everything you got to do on the various platforms. And that way you get up to date and whatnot, and keep up to date with what's going on and this and that. Now, are you going to be showing this? It's just right now just on video on demand, right?
It's actually funny. You're calling me right now, and we just had a screening on Saturday at up at Silicon Valley at the Silicon Valley Asian Pacific Film Festival up in San Jose. Then today, I just introed a screening over at UC Davis, part of their Asian American Association Festival Week. So we're doing a screening literally right now. It was perfect timing.
Oh my gosh!
We just introed it at 6:45, and then I stepped out for this. This Wednesday we're going to.
Wait, I had no
San
idea.
Diego. No, it's perfect.
Oh, very, very
it's perfect
cool.
timing. I can't sit through the film
very
again.
Cool.
It's I love the film, but it has been a lot of times I've sat through.
You've
it.
Seen
but
it.
Yeah, and then again on
right.
Wednesday we'll be at UC San Diego for another screening. But yeah,
nice.
It is right now available on demand for everyone to experience.
Outstanding, outstanding. And folks in San Diego, get over there Wednesday. I have a lot of listeners in San Diego. I used to live in San Diego, and a lot of people there, a lot of people. And if Leanne Kim at the San Diego Asian Film Festival is listening, I suggest you get over there too. good friend of mine. She used to be a network anchor there. Cool. Oh yeah, I'm telling you, the story. She's very cool. She's very cool.
Yeah, no, she stepped down. I forget last year or 2 years ago of the San Diego Asian American Film Festival.
Oh, I see.
I remember I went 1 year when she was running it, and she was just phenomenal. Really took care of all the filmmakers, and yeah, just they really know how to do it well over there.
Yeah, they really do, and it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy going to those events and whatnot. Very cool. Well, I can't wait. You know, William, I'm just gonna say, keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's working. You're good at it.
Thank you.
You know.
Thank you. I appreciate
awesome. Yeah, man, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see that detective film either. Or also, you know. Very, very cool.
Well, thank you.
I'm a
reminded
big fan
me
of that
and inspired
genre as
me
well.
To. Thanks. You've inspired me to get off my butt and work on that, you know, second draft and start banging
that's right.
it out.
Outstanding. Once again, folks, the film is Comfort, and check it out, and you can find out much more than we got into it about the cast and the filmmakers and all that. See all the press and everything at the comfortmovie.com, www.comfortmovie.com. And check this out. And I'm telling you, William Liu is the one to watch. It's going to be very, very cool. William, I predict you're going to be one of those cats that, you know, just get very, very famous. And I'll tell people, oh, yeah, I had him on my show. Remember my show I used to? And they're like, whatever, Jamie. Yeah, right. You know, that's probably how that will happen. But that's
you're too kind. You're too kind, Jamie. And I thankfully have a very good memory and always am grateful.
Nice.
And remember those people who supported me all through those lean years.
Nice, nice. Well, awesome. Well, I'm going to let you get back. I'm going to let you get back so you can see all the audience reaction and whatnot. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Your class to join up, it really rock. And, thank you so much. I didn't realize you were working tonight, will you? I feel kind of bad.
No worries. It was perfect. It was perfect timing because I wanted an excuse to duck out. So thank you so much for that.
Outstanding. Well, have a great night. Break a leg, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All right, Jamie. This is
there
fun.
It is, folks.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I can't wait for the next time. And there we go, folks. That was William Liu, filmmaker, comfort feature. This is the feature film we were talking about. This show, of course, will be converted to a podcast and put out on all the various social media platforms, including iTunes, in their podcast section there for free. Do me a favor. If you are listening to the show on iTunes in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. It puts us up at the top of the page. And, man, my sponsors really like that. They really like it, and it keeps the lights on around here. So how about that? So we're out of here. Tomorrow we have an early show. It'll be at 2 o'clock on the Eastern East Coast here because our guest is a band, Livsyn, from Sweden, and it's 8 o'clock at Stockholm. That's how we like to do it. So their fan base there can listen to the show at a decent hour. So we will see you tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. William, thank you so much again, man.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.